Entrepreneur Circle is an On Air Brands production and a proud member of the On Air Brands Network.
Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Entrepreneur Circle with Eric Cabral.
On this episode,
if you're going to succeed at a high level as an owner, you have to master succeeding through others. I remember hearing a millionaire, if they see an opportunity, they ask, how can I do that? A billionaire, when they see an opportunity, doesn't lift a pinky until they find a person they can bring into their world and make that their one thing inside their world.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. My goal is to inspire you by chatting with entrepreneurs about their successes, their failures in life and in business. I am your most humbled host, Eric Cabral, a real estate investor, a creative, and I've been in the creative industry for over 20 years. Got my start in New York City as a junior art director, made my way to the top of the corporate ladder and realized there was the proverbial glass ceiling. So I hung up my corporate hat and started my own creative agency called On Air Brands, where we broadcast your brand and your message using podcasts and social media marketing, along with the help of my other company, PodMax, which hosts live and virtual events for top performing entrepreneurs to get them on podcasts and to learn from our keynote speakers and our massive network. So to learn more about that event, hit up podmax.co and sign up for the next event. They're happening each and every month. So as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with 2 to 3 of your friends to continue growing our community and to help others grow from the knowledge shared here and learned here on this podcast. And before we jump into the show, I'd like to share some of what our sponsors, partners, and good friends have to offer you. Hey there, entrepreneurs. Eric Cabral here, founder of On Air Brands and host of the Entrepreneur Circle and Capital Hacking. I wanted to share something truly unique with you that we've created called PodMax, which is an amazing opportunity to connect you with major podcasts to help you share your fascinating stories with their communities. This unique invitation-only event includes interviews with you on top-rated business podcasts all in one day. It also provides a unique networking opportunity with high-performance guests and thought leaders who are authors, coaches and consultants, investors, speakers, executives, you name it. These are the type of people that you need to be around. We also provide industry expert keynotes to hit our stage to share insights on podcasting, investing, marketing to help you take things to the next level. And the cool thing about PodMax is that it has a multimedia agency engine behind it with On Air Brands to provide social media promotions before and after the event to share your brand new shows with your network. So hit the apply now button at podmax.co and I hope to see you at the next PodMax event. Hey there, folks, and welcome back to the show. I am your most humbled and happy host, Eric Cabral, with my co-host, Mr. Josh Carey. How are you?
I am wonderful. So excited to be here. We got a great guest. Why don't we tee him up?
Yeah, I am really excited and been excited for weeks because our guy here, we'll just say his name. His name is Jeff Woods, if you haven't heard of The One Thing. He is the co-founder and president of the training company that is behind The One Thing. And I just been like sleeping on this and thinking about it. I'm like, I'm so excited because this is a brand and this is a concept and this is a training company that changed my life. And I'm sure hopefully yours, who's listening out there in your car, doing the laundry or whatever you're doing. Hopefully, if you haven't heard of The One Thing and Jeff Woods and what him and his team are doing, you're going to find out a ton today. So thanks for being on the show, Jeff.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Here's what I love most about it. It is not just the book. Like Eric said, as if the book isn't good enough, right? Like you could spend your whole successful career absorbing that book. But as we're going to learn, there is a full training company behind it. And why I'm pointing this out is because I like always pulling the layers back and getting sometimes meta and showing how our listeners who are entrepreneurs, investors, business owners, et cetera, can really use this concept of how they've taken the business and the book and are just interweaving all of it. So it's fascinating. Before we went on the air, Jeff, you had mentioned that part of what you did was, as you put it, you spent 5+ years learning at the feet of a billionaire. And tell us about what that really means, what that concept is, and why it's so darn important for anybody looking to grow and succeed today.
Sure. Well, for the last 5 years, I have been building this company with my partners, Gary Keller and Jay Papazian. And Gary's the co-founder of Keller Williams, which is the largest real estate company in the world. He is a self-made billionaire. And Jay's his writing partner. They write all their books together. And kind of what's interesting about this is we're talking to entrepreneurs here. We're having a conversation as business owners. If you're going to succeed at a high level as an owner, you have to master succeeding through others. I remember hearing a millionaire, if they see an opportunity, they ask, how can I do that? A billionaire, when they see an opportunity, doesn't lift a pinky until they find a person they can bring into their world and make that their one thing inside their world. There's a reason I'm sharing this with you. When Gary and Jay co-authored The One Thing, it quickly took off and became one of the highest rated business books of all time. Most people in that moment would go, great, let's start speaking, let's start the podcast, let's start the training company. But again, a billionaire doesn't lift a pinky until they find a person they can bring into their world and make that their one thing. Gary and Jay looked at each other and Gary said, my one thing is being chairman of Keller Williams. Jay said, well, my one thing is writing books with you. And they went, okay, we're missing somebody whose one thing is the one thing. At that time, I was in medical device sales. It was a phenomenal job. I woke up every day. I wore scrubs. I got to run through hospitals. I sold a device that actually saved lives. I tried to get my wife to call me McDreamy. She's fantastic at saying no. And guys, I was where I think a lot of your listeners have been. You're waking up and even though things are good, something's missing. You feel it. You're lacking fulfillment. You know you're destined for more. You feel that gap and it's painful. Yet at the time, when I reflect back on it, I didn't have enough pain in my life to compel me to ask the big questions and search for the big answers. Two things happened that changed that. First, a colleague of mine had a stroke when he was 35. At the time, my wife and I had just bought a house in Orange County. We just had our first child and my wife decided to become a stay-at-home mom. And I remember thinking as the sole provider for the household now, if what happened to my colleague had happened to me, what would happen to my family? Super unsettling. The very next week, my company needed to make a change to my commission structure in order to remain competitive in the marketplace. As a result, I lost 40% of my income overnight. You put those two things back to back, the level of pain was elevated. I was reading a book and I came across this Jim Rohn quote that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I did something that I think a lot of people have heard that quote. I did something that I think most people don't do. I actually made a list of who my five were. And when I looked at the list, I realized I had five amazing friends. I did not have five amazing mentors. That set me on a journey to surround myself with mentors. I started a podcast called The Mentee. I was the mentee. I was recording conversations with the mentors I was getting into relationship with. I turned that into a six-figure business in less than a year that I later sold. Because you can't be the face of the one thing and have two things. But it was our national sales meeting. And Jay Papazian, who co-authored The One Thing with Gary, was our keynote speaker. And when he came off stage, he got a standing ovation. When everybody sat down, I was still standing. Guys, you ever had one of those moments where your mind's telling you to do one thing, but your heart's pulling you in a different direction? That was it. My mind was like, Jeff, just sit down. But my heart was saying, go. And before you know it, I am like sprinting down the side of the conference room and I intercepted Jay. And I didn't realize that they had been hunting for that person whose one thing would be the one thing. That's how we met. And the rest is history. So a few things to point out. One, when Gary and Jay saw the opportunity, they didn't ask, how can I do it? They asked, who can do it? If all you got from this episode was that so far, boom, ooh, drop the mic. You're done.
Chilling, yeah.
Right? And then it was about, one of the first things Gary said to me was, welcome to Austin. Good luck. You're going to need it. Because I had moved my family from SoCal to Austin. And I said, hi, thanks, why? And he said, for a few reasons. One, we invested 5 years researching and writing The One Thing so that the bar for quality would be here. And he said, your job is to raise the bar, not lower it. And he said, and the second reason is you're going to want to make me your product. You're going to want me to do the podcast. You're going to want me to get on stage. You're going to want me to be on the course. I will never do any of those things for you. Because if you need me, then I don't need you. So go succeed without me.
Keep going, Jeff.
You're blowing our minds right now, because what we're experiencing on a personal level and on a business level, this is sinking in so much. I'm sure Josh is feeling it.
Oh,
too,
sure. So. I mean, so many.
Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's crazy.
So many crazy. Nuggets there about, yeah.
We could just stop there.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, so let me give you the 20%. And when I say the 20%, I mean the 20% of what I just shared that would drive 80% of your value. First and foremost, if you want to achieve big things, no one succeeds alone. Anytime you're hitting a ceiling of achievement, you're missing a person, either in the form of leverage or in the form of a mentor or coach. When I was in med sales, I was missing mentors. That got me into business with Gary and Jay. They were hitting a ceiling of achievement. They were missing a person, me. And as I've scaled the company, I've hit ceilings of achievement where I have been missing people. And I have grown the company and scaled the org chart so that we can actually fulfill our vision.
Wow. Wow. So many things there that we can easily unpack. The first thing on the top of my mind is, as an entrepreneur, business owner, founder, when meeting and shaking hands with Jay Papasan and Gary, the entrepreneur in you, how did you feel personally knowing that this wasn't necessarily a baby that you created or birthed? And then also, did you feel that you had the power to ask for, or the privilege to ask for, more of the pot? You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going with this? Like, I want to have ownership. We everyone that surrounds us are entrepreneurs, and they want ownership, which I get, because I am there too. I want to give you ownership.
When you say ownership, what do you mean?
You mean, I'm talking like you have ownership or equity or a piece of the business, whatever it is that makes people feel good about what they're doing and they have a larger purpose in the whole. So when you stepped into that potential opportunity, what were you in your life, you're like going through?
Like I shared, I had already scaled the mentee to $100,000 in about 10 months. So I was on this path of, do I just scale the mentee and keep doing my thing and do it all on my own where I own everything? Or do I step inside Gary and Jay's world owning a piece of the pie, yet not the whole thing? And I'll share this with you guys. For those of you who are able to watch the video, you'll be able to watch this. If you're on podcast, then where's the video going to be?
Yeah, we're going to house it for you. We'll put a link in the show notes. Cool. But yeah, right now, let's just describe really quickly.
Here's the thing.
Please.
Every single one of us wants to live a big life. Now, what big means to you depends. But the reason you leave a job is because you wake up one day and realize you cannot have everything you want by being inside the world of that company. So you leave. So the thing that I remember seeing Gary draw in a mastermind is he drew three circles. So I'm literally drawing three circles next to each other. If this first circle, Eric, represents you, everything you could possibly ever want out of life fits into this circle. And Josh, this circle here represents everything you could possibly ever want out of life. And this third circle represents me, everything I could possibly ever want. Now, here's the thing. There is no way that, Josh, you can step inside Eric's circle, have everything you could possibly ever want, while Eric's still having everything he wants, because the circle's the same size. It would be a zero-sum game. But the question that Gary asks is, how do I, as an owner, give myself, pay attention to the language here, how do I give myself permission to make my world so big that any talented individual can step inside my world, have everything that they could possibly want, because it actually makes my world bigger? Now, let's be clear about a few things here. Whose job is it to make the world bigger? It's the new person's job who steps inside. All that you have to do is be willing to give yourself permission to let your world get bigger. And the reason I say that is because your world getting bigger is actually not comfortable. It's painful. It means you have to be willing to give people agency. You have to be willing to let people step inside your world and feel like it's theirs and make their calls and build something inside your world. That's what Gary's done. I mean, I literally, and for when you asked the question, Eric, like, where was my head at? I thought, Where am I likely? Here's my three core values: growth, recognition, impact, in that order. Which is going to be a bigger growth opportunity for me? Scaling the mentee by myself or scaling a business inside of Gary's world? No question. From a recognition standpoint, where am I going to get more fulfillment? By doing it by myself or stepping into his world on that scale? No question. From an impact standpoint, how many people can I help if I do it on my own versus if I do it inside of Gary's world? No question. So for me, it was an easy call. Build something inside their world, because I'm going to build something that's so much bigger that it's going to be amazing. And frankly, how much would you pay to have a billionaire teach you everything they know?
Can't put a
what
price
if they were going
it.
To pay you?
It's priceless. Yeah, that's sick.
Okay. Yeah. On that note, Jeff, I want to go back for a minute on the quote you said about you are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. So for somebody who knows that and is taking inventory of what those five people are, who they are, you assessed it and you went in the direction of creating a show that would help put you in a position to better surround yourself with five powerful people. What are some examples that somebody could strategically do to identify and or gather some of those right people? So once we say, I got two or three that I gotta replace.
Well, here's before you even go there, you first and foremost have to ask, what do you want? Because a mentor can serve you best in their area of expertise. Example, if you want to master real estate investing, you should not be going to somebody who's mastered stock. It's not their expertise. So part of this is actually sitting down and asking, what is it that I want? Which, by the way, when you ask that question, most people are going to hit a wall labeled, I don't know. Ordinary people stop searching when they hit the wall. The people who achieve extraordinary things recognize they hit the wall. That's where their current ceiling is in terms of thinking, and then they push past it. They search for the answer. And here's the cool thing. If I literally said, do me a favor, close your eyes, take a deep breath. What is it that you actually want? Now search. If you close your eyes and gave yourself the space to sit and think for 30 seconds or a minute, you will come up with an answer. I guarantee it. And then you can start to date that answer. So first you have to get clarity. Then it's a matter of getting strategic. I remember thinking that the best way to meet somebody would be in the pond they're already swimming in. So let me get in the room, whether that's a networking group, whether that's, I started actually investing in mastermind groups, like paying to go to events, paying to join masterminds, because people who were in that room, my hypothesis was, were playing at a certain level. That ended up serving me out really well. That's where it started. And then there's getting strategic. I realized that if I wanted to approach big names, I had to be able to have a reason to give value to them. Having a podcast helps. They don't know if I have 20,000 downloads an episode or two. But if I approach them and say, hey, I have this podcast, I want to feature you and share your message, you immediately increased your stock. So you end up getting to have conversations with people that you normally wouldn't have. And then I became a contributing author, a writer for entrepreneur.com, because I wanted to be able to approach people. Like, I cornered Brendan Burchard, I cornered Damon John, and said, I write for Entrepreneur, I want to write an article about you. And they said, yes.
Powerful. So good. I love that. And I'm going to borrow that from you, because we always talk about how powerful the podcast platform is and can be for you and your brand, not necessarily thinking of it in a traditional sense. Well, how many ads can I get on? How much money can I do make spending ads? It's not about that, right? It's the relationships. Right. It's the magic after the mics turn off, the relation, you know, just, it's so powerful. And I love how you put it. You increase your stock when you have a podcast.
Yeah.
So good. We touched on this, I think, before the episode started, and you're wearing, it's so strategically, the domino that's just peeking out of your very stylish sweater. And can you talk about that? Because I just love the simplicity of that concept.
The one thing is the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results. We're in the business of time. It's our most valuable resource. Like, quick test. What's more valuable, time or money?
Time.
Right?
All day.
Right?
Yeah.
So here's the problem. Most people are spending their time. They're not investing it. Why is it that we don't hold our time to the same standard we hold our dollars to when we know time matters more and is worth more? And here's what it looks like. Most people are going through their days, waking up, opening up their computer, and what's the first thing they check?
Email.
Emails.
Or Facebook.
Until they have to go to a
meeting.
Get out of the meeting, have 5 minutes, so they check.
Facebook.
Emails.
Then they get a call and somebody says, hey, you got a minute? You ever had one of those days where you were super busy and then you looked up at the end of the day and you went, I was busy. Did I get anything done? Never, never. Well, do me a favor. Send me an autograph because you're the first person I've ever met. That's what happens when we spend our time. And again, there's no judgment in this. And frankly, I'm going to take you off the hook because we were never taught this. We were never trained how to invest our time. That's why we're in business. We teach people how to better invest their time so they achieve extraordinary results. And the path to getting everything you want starts by getting one thing at a time. This means we think big. Think big about your life. But the trick is actually to go small and trust the dominoes will fall. Now, here's an example of this. Back in 2009, there was a group out of the Netherlands that broke the world record for domino falls. Have you guys ever lined up dominoes before?
Mm-hmm.
How many do you think you lined up most?
It's funny. Through this current world we're in, we got our kids like 1,000 dominoes that are now just in like this like nice red bag. 3 days ago, we set up all of them, all 1,000 around our... Yeah, wow. They were excited. It was the weekend and we had a good time. Yeah. So
this group lined up 4.5 million.
Oh, man.
It's like, wow. Do you even think about like what it looks like to line up 1,000? I'm like, holy crap.
Oh, no, that was, yeah.
So imagine 4.5 million. Now, here's the thing. I want you to imagine that you're the leader of that group. You're walking up to that lead domino and behind it, there's 4.5 million in dazzling display. Imagine lifting your right hand and effortlessly with the flick of a finger, knocking that first domino down and starting to hear the sounds of the rest of them going. Here's what's impressive about this. Small actions can unleash massive reactions. That, like literally, if you're listening to this, do me a favor. Hold up your right hand. Take your pointer finger like you're about to flick a domino. Let's flick it on three. One, two, three, flick. Okay, cool. Think about that, how effortless that was. That effortless action unleashed 94,000 joules of energy. That's as much as it would take to drop and do 545 consecutive push-ups. Small action, massive reaction. Here's what we also know about dominoes, which is why it's on my shirt. They don't just knock down ones of equal size. In 1983, a researcher named Lauren White had published in the American Journal of Physics says 2-inch domino could actually knock down one 50% larger. So 2 knocks over 3, 3 knocks over 4.5. If you extrapolate it out, and our graphics team did this, by the 18th domino, you would knock down the Leaning Tower of Pisa. By the 23rd domino, the Eiffel Tower. 31 dominoes in, you are 3,000 feet above Mount Everest, the tallest peak in the world, and just 57 dominoes. I mean, Josh, smaller, like that's like 5% of what was in that bag for your kids. You would build a structure that reaches almost from the earth to the moon. And if you actually graph it out, it's a hockey stick growth. It's flat for a long time and then boom. Here's why the domino matters. Every single one of us, we wake up and we see all these things that are on our plates and we tell ourselves we have to get them all done. So we go and we do this thing and then we go and we do that thing and then we go and we do that thing. The reason the one thing's the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results is all we do is we say, look at all that stuff that's on your plate, stand them up like dominoes, line them up and whack away at the first one first. And everything else becomes easier or unnecessary.
Hello, this is Josh McCown, CEO of Viva May Hospitality and the beautiful Renault Resort Winery. I have to tell you, the secret's out, and the secret is On Air Brands. On Air Brands Creative Agency, which specializes in launching podcasts, transforming live events into live streaming events, and social media marketing soup to nuts. On Air Brands has changed the game. There'll never be a day from here forward when you and I and our companies don't need to be on the air. Every brand needs to be on the air, but so few know that. So it's great to work with a group that are ahead of the curve and to find a company that has been built on the core foundation of the future of marketing. If you're ready to broadcast your brand like they've done for my brands, take the next step and make a change that can transform your business. Reach out to On Air Brands today. That's onairbrands.com. Yes, onairbrands.com.
Here's what I was thinking when I was consuming the book, which I'm thinking this whole time, it's simple. And you just said it. It is such a simple concept. There's so much simplicity and logic to every part of the book. So that begs the question, why in the world is there so much personal resistance? What is that next layer that we have to identify? Because I know habits come into play, maybe self-worth, ability, labels, self-sabotage. How do we frame all that to what the goal of what we're talking about here is?
I'll give you one word. Lies. Lies that we tell ourselves. We call them the lies of productivity. If I could only talk about one lie, it would be lie number one. And I learned it the hard way. When this is both a lesson in productivity and time, as well as a lesson in hiring. So get ready. When I got hired, they told me that my job, the job description for my role, was three things. And most people, when you think of a job description, you think of all the things they have to do for their job. Mm-mm-mm. That's not what we think of it. We call it the 2 to 3 things you have to do exceptionally well or you're fired. I kid you not. Those three things for me was, one, I had to prove I could cast a vision for the business. Because if Gary and Jay had to think for me, I'm fired. Two, I had to prove I could drive revenue. Because if I can't drive revenue, there ain't no business. Fired. Three, I had to prove I could recruit talent. Because you can't be a business owner if you can't succeed through others. And I had 90 days to demonstrate I could do all three or I was fired. Dead serious, by the way. That's serious. So vision, we start with number one. We have a framework for casting a vision. It's called a GPS. It is a one-page business plan because it's really tough to be on the same page if your plan doesn't fit on the same page. And just like the GPS on your phone, you plug in where you want to go. It figures out where you are. It tells you how to get there. And if there's detours, it tells you how to navigate it. It also stands for goal, priorities, strategies. So I walked into the boardroom to deliver my GPS to Gary and Jay. And it was simple. It was a simple sheet of paper. And I had a goal at the top, and then I had three priorities on it. And we started talking about priority number one. I remember Gary and Jay asking a bunch of questions about it. I remember answering them and asking, are we good? And they said, yeah. And so I went on to number two. About halfway through number two, Gary started asking more questions about number one. I remember thinking, oh, he must have forgotten. So I answered the questions, asked him if we were good. He said, yeah. So I wrapped up number two and started talking about number three. Guess what he did then? Went back to number one. You ever seen Meet the Parents?
Yes.
You know the Circle of Trust?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't in it. Why was it that Gary kept going back to number one? I could not figure it out. I did the best I could. I answered the questions. I said, are we good? He said, yes. So I went back to number three. And then he after about 10 seconds, he stopped me and he asked, Jeff, do you need to do number three in order to do number two? I said, no. He said, do you need to do number two in order to do number one? I said, no. He said, then do me a favor. Draw a line between number one and number two. And he literally waited while I drew a line. And then he said, actually, even better, rip the page in half. I kid you not, he waited while I took my business plan and ripped it in half. And then he said something that really changed the way I view time. He said, don't even think about number two or number three until you've earned the right to by mastering number one. It was in that moment that I realized my entire career, I had been falling trapped to the number one lie of productivity. The lie that everything matters equally. Everything does not matter equally. Now, I'm going to give you a little fair warning. I'm about to come in direct. So if you're listening to this, get comfy, get ready. You guys ready? Okay, yeah, here's a quiz. Here's a quiz. What matters more, checking email or casting a vision for your business?
Is it a trick question?
I want to hear it.
Yeah, the vision, okay? Right? All
what matters more, sitting in meetings or having a plan for how you're going to invest your time?
Plan for the time.
Great. Now here's where I'm coming in hot. If I followed you around with a camera, what would I see you doing more of, checking email or casting a vision?
Damn, Jeff, you caught us.
If I followed you around with a camera, what would I see you doing? Sitting in meetings or planning so you invest your time?
See, that's the logic that I said, right? We know, but now, so what's it about?
People aren't clear on what matters most. If I sat, well, here, let's just, okay, who wants to be on the hot seat? Which one of you? Thanks for going.
Yeah, I'll do it, because here's what's great about this. You're validating that what I do every day is the right thing, because ask Josh, I don't check my emails and my team hates me for it. And every day I focus on what the vision is. So let's bring it. Let's see it.
Right. Yeah, I want to. I just want you to answer the question as fast as you can.
Absolutely.
Eric, of all the things you could do today, what's the one thing you can do such that by doing that one thing, everything else would be easier or unnecessary?
Oh, God. Holy smokes. Finish. Yeah. Okay. I got the answer too.
People aren't clear on what matters most. And here's what really happens. You get out of that meeting, you realize you've got 5 minutes, and you ask yourself, what should I be doing right now? And because you don't have an answer within the split of a second, we've formed habits of defaulting to things that will give us the stimulus. Email, social media. Then you let other people's priorities drive your day. When people open their computer, they wonder, what should I be doing? And over time, unconsciously, they have formed habits of checking email, which is nothing more than everybody else's priorities. And they let other people's priorities drive their day. And again, there's no judgment in this, because we were never trained to do this. Yet, when we facilitate trainings, we go, that is no longer an excuse. You now have been trained. So let's talk about how you're going to overcome it. But when we step into companies, I don't care if you got five people or literally some of the organizations we work with are the Fortune 500 that have 500,000 companies. Most people are majoring in the minors. They act as though their future depends on being responsive to email and showing up in meetings. But if I ask you, have you guys ever received a promotion in your life ever? You ever gotten promoted?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you get promoted because you were the best email checker in the company?
Absolutely.
Did you
not.
Get promoted because you were the best meeting attender? I mean, your notes sparkled.
Meeting attender.
Right.
Stop majoring in the minors. Get clarity on what matters, then take control of your time.
The big thing that I heard you say that I think stands to be extrapolated is that something like checking email and everything else we're talking about that is not part of the one thing in that moment is a habit, which I completely understand and agree with. But it means now that we have to, most of us, I think, because as good habits are, they grab hold and we don't realize what's being done. So the first step is to be aware that a habit is occurring.
Warren Buffett said it best. The habits of our lives are like chains that are too loose to be noticed until they are too tight to be broken.
Want me to say that again?
Yes, please.
Yeah. I'm familiar with most of his quotes. I've never heard that one.
The habits of our lives are like chains that are too loose to be noticed until they are too tight to be broken. The shirt I almost wore today that I now wish I had says, decide your habits, decide your future.
So the answer is yes. what I say, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we have to acknowledge that we're going through a habitual state that is not serving us. And this book is all about growing that awareness and changing those habits.
Yeah, the book is about habits.
Yeah.
There you go.
Gary is where Gary is because he got very purposeful about forming habits that would decide his future.
This is so good and on multiple levels and obviously on a one-on-one basis.
See
but
his
how
face,
does this
by the way, you should just see it.
mine or Josh's?
Yours.
Oh, mine. Because I know we have limited time here and I want to get this in there. So how do you work with companies that have 500,000 people? How do you get everyone who they need to check emails in order to be in sync with the company's goals and everything that's happening? How do you work with
simple
big companies like that?
One person at a time. Just like Domino's. Guys, this is the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results. We have two major models that drive your clarity, your alignment, your control of your time. We already talked about the GPS. It's a one-page business plan. So I step into these companies that they don't actually know what the one thing is for the organization. So as a result, nobody can actually say how what they're doing right now aligns with the one thing. So they're dividing their focus from the beginning. Most people aren't clear on what the priorities actually are for the company. They don't know what the order of the priorities are. Like if these are the top five, what's number one? They don't know. And who wakes up saying, that's my one thing? They don't know that. They don't know what to do when priorities change. So they check email. And they don't know what to do when, Eric, you have a one thing. Josh, you have a one thing. You need each other to succeed, yet your one things are different. So how do you succeed together? It's called interdependencies. So when we facilitate a team creating a GPS, you actually get clarity and alignment. Every single person knows this is our one thing. These are the priorities. These are the order of priorities. Here's who owns each one. Here's what we do when priorities change. And here's how I handle the interdependencies. Now they can move forward together. That's clarity and alignment at a team or organizational level. That's super. That is a simple process to facilitate. Then it's about how does every single individual have a relationship with their goals? The world does not need a new way to set goals. They need a way to have a relationship with them. Either of you married?
Both.
Okay, Josh, what's your wife's name?
Heather.
Heather, when you do you remember that moment early on when you realized there was something special about Heather and there was possibly a future?
Of course.
How ridiculous would have been in that moment if when you realized it, you looked at her and said, oh, Heather, I can tell you're special. I really want to see where we can go with this thing. So here's what I propose. Let's get together in a year. Let's see how it's going. Right? That's ridiculous, but that's what people do with their goals. They set their goals, they put it on a piece of paper, and then they revisit it a year later. They don't have a relationship with their goals. They don't go on dates with their goals. They don't have conversations with them about, are we on track? Are we behind? And they don't think about their goals in between dates. A 411 is a tool that gives you clarity on your priorities. 411 also stands for the relevant information or truth. It is a systematic way to break what you do each of the 4 weeks to line up with your goals for 1 month that lines up with your 1 year. 411. This, once a company does a GPS, every individual can say, this is the piece of the pie that I'm responsible for. It drags straight over to their 411 as their annual goals that they then break down to, these are the handful of 20% things I must accomplish this month to be on track for my year. And if that's the case, here are the handful, I'm talking 3 to 5 things that I must do this week that automatically put me on track for my month, that put me on track for my year, which means I'm holding up my piece of the business plan. And then they do something crazy. They open up their planners and calendars and block time to do the things that matter most. How you scale is because it's simple. Get clarity on what you are responsible for this year. Reverse engineer it down to what you have to deliver this month. Reverse engineer it down to what you got to do this week and open your calendar and put it on there.
This is what I love about how we started the show by saying, I want to pull the curtain back, because clearly now that we've spent time here, you obviously are living, breathing proof of the one thing, by no surprise, because that's your culture, that's your DNA, that's your brand. So we've just witnessed the effect of embracing the one thing. I mean, we're blown away here because everything is just resonating and sitting so well, because you've mastered, again, your proof of how the execution perfectly of the one thing works.
Yeah. Well, I want to share a story about that. I know if people want to see what a GPS and a 411 is, if you go to theonething.com and that's with the number one in the URL, click on free stuff. You can download that there. And on the training page there, I believe there's some free courses about it. But I want to walk you through an example of what it's actually looked like in our life. Every year we facilitate a couples goal setting retreat, because we put time to putting a plan in place in our business, but then we don't even think about how we succeed with our wives or our husbands or our significant others. No one succeeds alone. And then we try to grow independent of those people and we wonder why we're growing apart. Shocker. Last year when my wife and I did our couple retreat, we asked the question, what matters to us someday from now? And the answer was, we want to be closer to mountains. We've got young kids. We want to be raising them on the mountains. Here's the problem. We live in Texas. And as long as I'm running this company, we have to be in Texas because that's where Gary and Jay are. And my wife looked at me and said, well, honey, what's one thing we can do this year to be closer to that someday goal? And I was like, well, first, I'm turned on. Second.
So let's take care of that.
I said, we can take one vacation this year to a mountain location. And if every year for the next 5 to 10 years, we scout enough locations, we will know where we want to call home so that when we earn the right to live where we want to live, it's an easy call. Then COVID hit. All vacations out the window. And after multiple months of pandemic, things started to loosen up and we started to feel more comfortable. And my wife said, what are we doing about that trip? And I said, you're right. And we asked the question, if we could only pick one place to visit first, where would it be? And we said, let's check out Denver. So we booked it. Over that weekend, I had a realization. Of all the companies we work with, I was hearing a similar theme. The future of work is virtually based, physically enhanced. Not all or nothing, but companies are realizing, hey, we can be virtually based. I had a meeting with my partners and I said, you know, as a company that trains companies to be productive, wouldn't it make sense for us to be that company so we have authority? And they said, yeah, it does. Let's go virtual. I said, great. Does that mean I need to be in Austin? They said, no. The very next week were my flights to Denver. I bought a house on that trip. I moved here a week ago and I'm staring at some snow-covered pine trees out in the window.
Man, nice. You're in Denver now.
Congratulations. So,
wow. What a story.
Here's the thing. Here's why I share this with you. The purpose of a goal is actually not to achieve a result. It's to be appropriate in the moment. It's to act as a compass to determine how you have to behave today. Had my wife and I not done our couple's goal setting retreat, we would have not have clearly planted a flag in the someday future of being closer to mountains, which would not have allowed us to say, we have to take a mountain vacation this year, which when we got restless in COVID, we would not have said, well, let's go to Denver, which would not have created the opportunity when I was talking to Gary Jay about even moving. None of it would have happened if we hadn't had the relationship with our goals.
Wow, how do we do we wrap?
yeah. Well, I would love to continue this conversation. That's how I want to wrap this, because I don't want it to end.
Can I tell you what you should ask?
Yes.
Yeah, and then tell us what we should ask.
Based on everything that we've talked about here today, Jeff, if somebody could only do one thing, what would it be?
Perfect.
Do that. Say that.
Jeff, based on everything that was discussed today. Yeah. What is the one thing that Josh and I and the listeners?
I'm going to preface by saying that you have a decision if you're going to view the last hour of your time as an expense or an investment. And assuming you want it to be an investment, it means you have to back what you learned with action. This episode cannot be like every other episode where you just go to the next one or you listen to the other podcast or that you go do whatever you're doing in your day. This episode will be different. This episode, you will pause it and you will ask yourself the question, based on what I learned, what's one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary? And search for that answer. Now, here's what I mean by think big, go small, trust the dominoes will fall. The mark of success is if you ask the question. I actually don't care if you get an answer. That's the lead domino, because if you ask the question, you're going to be more likely to get the answer. And if you have an answer, you're more likely to actually do it. And if you do it, you're more likely to guarantee that this was an investment of your time and not an expense. Some suggestions for you. If this has resonated with you, I would strongly encourage you to go to theonething.com. That's with the number one in the URL. The free stuff page is good. I've got some downloads there. On the training page, you can learn about the goal setting retreats that we're facilitating virtually this year. You can learn about all the other trainings we do. That's if you want to actually put it into action. But start by asking the focusing question.
Love you. Love what you're doing. Love what you're doing for the world. Absolutely appreciate you and everything that you guys are doing. It's changing lives. It's changing businesses and obviously making a global impact. Thanks for your time and space today, brother. We appreciate you. And let's not make this the last time we chat, because I think we need you in our world more than you need us right now. So we're going to continue.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff, so much.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.